Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. For me, I just returned on September 5th from a youth conference and a leadership conference in Jinja, Uganda from August 29th through September the 2nd. And God did a powerful work of His Holy Spirit in the youth conference and leadership conference that we had there. And the focus of my teaching there was on the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because I believe that we are coming into greatest days of the history of the church when God is wanting to release the whole anointing of the Holy Spirit on His church. And so that's what I talked about, in, especially in the youth conference, the anointing of the Holy Spirit and how it operates in our life and how we can come into that anointing. And today I want to share some of what I taught the youth real briefly so you understand it. And then God has given me a word for East Africa, because I believe God is getting ready to do a work throughout East Africa that will be amazing, an anointing of His Holy Spirit. And so I begin my teaching by teaching on a Davidic anointing. And we know in 1 Samuel chapter 16 that David, who was a shepherd boy, was anointed to be the next king of Israel. Now, David had seven older brothers who were much more qualified to be king than he was. His oldest brother, Eliab, was a big man in the military, a very powerful man. But God told Samuel, who was anointing them, God told Samuel, I don't judge according to outward appearance, I judge according to the heart. And so even though David was the youngest in his family, he didn't have any qualifications, he was just a shepherd boy, because he had a heart after God, God anointed David to be the next king of Israel. And in 1 Samuel 16:13, it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So the anointing of the Holy Spirit was on David on that day forward. And in the conference, I talked about six different ways we see how the anointing of the Holy Spirit worked in David's life. The first thing was he was anointed to serve. And the anointing of God comes in our life, first of all, to enable us to serve God and to serve His church. The second anointing in David's life was anointing to worship. And God calls us to worship Him, and God wants to anoint us by His Spirit to worship Him. If you have a heart after God, you'll have a heart to serve the body of Christ, and you'll have a heart to serve people, and you'll have a heart to worship God. The third area of anointing was anointing to conquer, and this is where David conquered Goliath. So as we serve others and worship God, God anoints us with authority to conquer the enemy. The fourth area of anointing was in the wilderness. And so Saul, the king, became jealous of David and began to hunt David down to kill him. And David had to flee into the wilderness. But even in the wilderness, David walked under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And 400 men came and joined him in the wilderness with his family because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was on David's life. And God, even God's anointing does not live from us. Even when we're in the wilderness, even when we're going through difficult times, the anointing of the Holy Spirit rests upon our life and enables us to not just survive the wilderness or difficult times, but to be victorious in the wilderness and difficult times. Then the fifth area of anointing was anointing of crises. Crisis is when you have a big problem in your life. And David and his men were living in a city called Ziklag. And while they were gone to battle, the enemy came and stole all their children and wives and everything they had and destroyed the city. And so when David came back and his men, they were weeping and crying because they had lost their children and everything they had. And David's men were thinking about stoning and killing him. But the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. So that anointing arose in David in the midst of crisis, and he encouraged David in the Lord so that he pursued the enemy and overcame them and got everything back. The last heir of anointing was rule. He became the ruler, the king of Israel because of the anointing on his life. So the shepherd boy became a king. So I talked about how that God has anointed all of us as believers. We have, when you're born again, become a child of God, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. You have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You're anointed to serve people. You're anointed to worship God. You're anointed to conquer the enemy. You're anointed to survive and thrive and do well, even in wilderness, hard situations. You're anointed in the time of crises when a big problem comes. The anointing of the Holy Spirit rises in you, and you're anointed to rule. And many of us want the anointing to conquer and rule, but anointing begins with service. Anointing continues with worship. We need to learn how, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, how to serve the body of Christ, serve others, and worship God. And then the anointing moves in us to do greater things. So I talked about the anointing of David. Then I talked about Psalms 133 and the anointing of Aaron in Psalms 133. And Psalms 133, verse 1 and 2 said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard, the beard of Aaron running down the edges of his garment." And so Aaron was the high priest. And so anointing oil was anointing the priest with the authority of being a priest. It set him apart to be a priest. And the Bible says, "We are a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, that we may glorify God." And so there is an anointing that comes on us. And anointing starts with the head, which is Jesus Christ, the high priest. And the anointing flows down through the whole body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the body of Christ, how we're all part of the body of Christ. We've been given different functions and different gifts, just like a body has different functions and gifts. But it is the Holy Spirit that enables all those parts of the body to work. And the same thing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit wants to flow down through the whole body of Christ. But we have to be connected together. That's why Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren," that is Christians, "to dwell together in unity." Because it's in unity that allows the anointing of the Holy Spirit to flow through the body of Christ and to do the work of God. See, God's wanting us as believers to come together, united together, so he can anoint us to do the work of the ministry. But then I also talked at the conference about the anointing on us, our personal lives. And I talked to how the anointing starts from the head, Jesus Christ, and it flowed over every part of Aaron's body. And so I gave each young person a little oil in their hands, and we anointed the different parts of our body. So I had the young people anoint their ears to hear from God, had them anoint their eyes to be able to see what God sees. I had them anoint their mouth to speak what God speaks. I had them anoint their heart so they have a heart after God. Had them anoint their hands to have anointing power to touch people's lives and bring healing and deliverance. And I had them anoint their feet to anointing to walk with God. And you see, God wants to anoint every part of you. And as they anointed the parts of their body, they dedicated their ears, their eyes, their mouth, their hands, their heart, and their feet to God. And then I had them anoint each other and pray for one another. As they did, the mighty anointing power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And God anointed them anew and afresh to be used of God to touch East Africa with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We had people from Burundi, from Rwanda, from the Congo, from Kenya, and Uganda at the conference. And the anointing is going to flow through them back into their countries. And so God wants to anoint us as a body of Christ. God wants to anoint every part of you. You need to anoint your ears. Maybe you can take time and pray and anoint your ears. Dedicate them to hear what God speaks. Anoint your mouth to only speak what God speaks. Speak words of faith. Speak words that edify and build up. Don't speak words that criticize other people or words of doubt and fear. No. Allow God to anoint your lips with the Holy Spirit, to speak what the Holy Spirit would speak. Allow God to anoint your eyes to see what the Spirit of God sees, not to see with the natural eyes, to see all the problems. See what God is doing in the world. See what God is doing in people's lives. Don't judge people by the outside. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you see people's hearts and to minister to people's hearts. Anoint your hands to be used of God to bring blessing to people, not to bring cursing, not to injure people, but to bring blessing, to do the work of the ministry. Serve God with your hands and your feet so that your feet are anointed to carry the good news of Jesus Christ. So God did a mighty work anointing them with the Holy Spirit. The last thing I talked about, which I want to talk about with the rest of the program today, is from Ezekiel chapter 47. And Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 through 12, Ezekiel has a vision. And in this vision, he sees a river flowing out from the throne of God. And this river goes down, and the farther it goes, the larger becomes. And as it goes, it brings life everywhere it goes. And the river is filled with all kinds of fish and life. Parts of the river that were dead come to life. And the river continues to flow, and everywhere it flows, trees grow along the side of the river. And the trees produce a different fruit every month, and that fruit is food for the nations. And the leaves of the tree were healing for the nations. And so everywhere the river went, it went and brought life, it brought wholeness, it brought healing, and it brought food, it brought nourishment to the nation. And that river that flows from the temple is the river of the Holy Spirit. And the river of the Holy Spirit wants to flow in these last days to bring life and healing. And the word the Lord gave me after I came back from Uganda on September 5th, that was on Tuesday afternoon, on Wednesday night I was praying, and the Holy Spirit spoke a word to me about this river that God, that Ezekiel saw. And the word the Lord spoke to me on September 6, 2023, it said, like the Nile River, there is a river of the Holy Spirit that will flow northward out of the heart of Africa and bring life everywhere it goes. And I believe there is a river of God's Holy Spirit that is going to flow out of Africa. And it is going to flow northward out of Africa, just like the Nile River. And it's going to bring life to Sudan and Egypt and all the countries in North Africa. It's going to bring life into the Mediterranean, which touches Europe and the Middle East. And this river is going to bring life everywhere it goes. And this river is going to come out of the heart of Africa, out of countries like Uganda and Burundi, Kenya and Uganda, the Congo, the central part of Africa. This river is going to flow. And so I talked about this river from Ezekiel saw. And everywhere the river went, it brought life. Everywhere the river went, it brought healing. Everywhere the river went, it brought food to the nation. And I believe God is raising a river out of the heart of Africa, a river that will bring life and healing to the nations. And God invited Ezekiel into this river. And when you look back at the story of the river, Ezekiel's river in Ezekiel 47, the Lord God brought Ezekiel into the shallow part of the river, where it was only ankle deep. And then the angel brought Ezekiel into the river where it was knee deep. And then the angel brought Ezekiel into the river where it was waist deep. And then the angel brought Ezekiel into the river, where it was so deep and so wide that you had to swim in it in order to cross that river. And it was so big you couldn't even cross the river. And so if God is going to use Central Africa, if God is going to bring a river out of Central Africa, it needs to be a river that we totally submerse ourselves in. See, many people want to just get their feet in the river of the Holy Spirit. They want to have a good time in the Holy Spirit. They want to sing and dance and have manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And they just want to get into a little bit of the river of the Holy Spirit. God just doesn't want us to enjoy the Holy Spirit, but God wants us to go a little deeper. And there are some that go knee-deep into the river of the Spirit. They begin to experience the river of God, the Spirit of God, a little more in their lives. You know, I remember when I took a team from Western Kenya to the coast, a team of pastors, and they had never been to Mombasa. They had never seen the ocean. And I remember when we went to the ocean that I encouraged them to get into the ocean. But they couldn't. They were fearful of getting into the ocean. Some got in the ocean about ankle deep. Some got knee deep in the ocean. Some got up to their waist in the ocean. But they're afraid to go any farther in the ocean because they didn't know what was in the ocean. They didn't have confidence what was in the ocean. And so they're afraid to get. I just dove into the ocean with my whole body because I had already been in the ocean. I knew what the ocean was like. I knew the water of the ocean was wonderful. You didn't have to be fearful. The water of the ocean was very refreshing and nice. I love getting in the ocean. But they were afraid to get in the ocean. And I believe there are many Christians who are afraid to get into the flow of the river of the Holy Spirit. They want to have a little bit of the Holy Spirit, but they're afraid to yield themselves fully to the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes some people get up to the waist in the Holy Spirit. You know, when you get up to the waist deep in the Holy Spirit, you begin to feel the pull of the Holy Spirit on your life. And you begin to feel the influence of the Holy Spirit on your life. You know, and then some people are afraid to just jump into the Holy Spirit. They're afraid to yield totally to the Holy Spirit because they think the Holy Spirit is going to make them do something that they don't want to do. But the Holy Spirit's not that way. The Holy Spirit, we see the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, kindness, meekness, gentleness. See, that is what the Holy Spirit is like. That is the nature of the Holy Spirit. He is full of love, joy, and peace. He's gentle and patient and kind. When you see Jesus operating in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was not harsh with people. He was harsh with religious people, but he wasn't harsh with other people. And Jesus was loving for people. Jesus did good things for people. Jesus healed the sick, cast out demons. Jesus did good things. And because he was moved by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit does that which is good. And Jesus, referring to the Holy Spirit, says, if you ask your Father for a fish, is he going to give you a snake? No, because your Father gives you good things. If you ask for bread, is he going to give you a scorpion? No, because your Father wants to give you good things. He said your Heavenly Father wants to give you something good. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit. And so God is calling his church into a new anointing of the Holy Spirit, the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus said, when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, he will lead you into all truth. He'll make known to you the things that I have taught you. He'll bring them to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He helps us know the Word of God. See, the Word of God is the revelation of God. The more you know the Word of God, the more you understand God. The more you understand the way God does things, the way God thinks. When you read the Word, ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand what you're reading. Read just a few sentences or a few verses, then ask the Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to learn from that. Get into the Word. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring life to you. He is the helper who teaches you. He is the helper who helps you to pray effectively. See, sometimes we just pray according to what we think. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit knows all things. He knows even the deep things of God. See, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal things to you. He wants you to pray with wisdom. He wants you to pray according to the will of God so your prayers are answered. The Holy Spirit is your best friend. He is your helper. And so God is calling us to dive into the river of the Holy Spirit. And when you dive into the Holy Spirit, river of the Holy Spirit, you become part of what the river is doing. It's not you that's doing the work of God. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work of God. It's not you that brings life. It's the Holy Spirit that brings life through you. In John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, says there, Jesus said, on the last day and great day of the feast, Jesus stood out and cried, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, who those who believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet died and been raised from the dead and glorified. So Jesus is talking about a river coming out of us. See, when we're part of the river of God, when we're part of the flow of the Holy Spirit, then the river flows in us, the river flows through us, and the river changes lives. Jesus cried, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus is the source of refreshing. Jesus is a source of power. He is a source of love. He is a source of hope and peace. He is a source of deliverance and salvation. See, when you get into Jesus, the life of Jesus begins to flow. He says, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. See, God is calling you and I into the river of his Spirit. He wants to bring new life into us. He wants his river to flow through us, the river of his Spirit. You know, wherever the river goes, it brings life. The river brings hope. The river brings peace. The river brings joy. The river brings healing. The river brings deliverance. The river brings restoration. The river brings salvation. See, God is calling us to dive into the river, to give ourselves and yield to the river of the Holy Spirit. As we do, his life begins to flow out of us. It is not us, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's the life of the Holy Spirit flowing out of us that brings life to other people. And it purifies us. You know, when I went to the Nile River, I went to the source of the Nile River. And the Nile River comes out of Lake Victoria, but there's also a place where there's some springs that are of water that are bubbling up in the river. And you go to the source of the Nile, you see these springs of water that are bubbling up to the top of the river. And that is fresh water that's coming up. And the guide that took us out to the source of the Nile, he said about 70% of the water for the Nile comes out of Lake Victoria, but 30% comes out of these springs that are in the river. And the springs is fresh water. And see, we are the springs of water. We are the living water. The living water wants to bubble up out of us. Jesus said, out of your belly, out of your heart, will spring forth rivers of living water. It's the river of the Holy Spirit that brings life out of us. It's the river of the Holy Spirit that brings transformation to our communities and nations. It is not us that do it. It is the river of the Holy Spirit that God is calling us to. And, you know, and when we come together, the river grows as we come together. You know, the Nile River, as it goes along, it grows bigger and bigger. And as we flow together, remember in Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See, as we flow together in unity, it allows the anointing to flow down on each part of our body. It allows the anointing of the Holy Spirit to flow down on the whole body of Christ. There is a release of God's anointing and the river of the Spirit that God wants to release in us. In 2 Corinthians 6, 16 and 17, 2 Corinthians 6, 16 and 17, it says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I'll receive you." See, so God is calling us, and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the life of God flows out of us, just like in Ezekiel. The river flowed out of the temple of God. The river flowed out of God's presence. It flowed out of the, and the river of God flows. We are the temple of the living God. And the river of God wants to flow out of us. The river of the Holy Spirit wants to flow out of, but we can't allow idolatry as putting anything above God. We can't put our confidence in other people. We can't look to other people. We can't be seeking things for ourselves. We can't put ourselves first. No. It says, separate yourself from the things of the world and allow the river of the Holy Spirit to flow through you. Allow the river of the Holy Spirit to bring life into you, to bring healing into you, to bring restoration into you, to bring deliverance into your life, and to bring that to other people. The Bible says we have been given a ministry of reconciliation where we reconcile or bring the world back to God. There is a move of God's Holy Spirit. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You see, God wants to do something new. God wants to bring new life into Africa. And so the word the Lord gave me and the word for you today is like the Nile River. There is a river of the Holy Spirit that will flow northward out of the heart of Africa and bring life wherever it goes. Lord God, I just pray right now for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to come upon every person, Lord God, in Kenya and Uganda, Lord Jesus, in Rwanda and Burundi, in the Congo, Lord God. Lord, may the river come out of the heart of Africa. May it flow north, and everywhere it goes, may it bring life, may it bring peace, may it bring hope, may it bring joy, may it bring salvation, may it bring deliverance, may it bring food for the nation, may it bring healing to the nations, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I pray your blessing upon every person today listening to the voice of hope today. And I just encourage them in their walk with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you want to listen to the voice of hope, I encourage you to listen every Sunday. Invite your friends to listen to the voice of hope. You can also listen, if you or your friends miss the voice of hope, you can listen to the voice of hope by going to my website, thevoiceofhopetoday.org. I put all my broadcasts that I broadcast on the Voice of Hope on my website, thevoiceofhopetoday.org. So you can listen to a broadcast you haven't heard. If someone missed this broadcast, they can thevoiceofhopetoday.org, and they can listen to this broadcast at a later time. May God bless you and keep you by his power. Walk in the river. Get into the river all the way and allow God to use you by his Holy Spirit to transform your life and to transform the lives of others. May God bless you and keep you by his power. In Jesus' name, amen.